But I'm here to tell you this morning that God loves to turn losers into his champions.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. We have been taking lessons from the life of David in this series, and David's early prospects for greatness seemed inauspicious, to say the least. Scripture records how even his own family didn't take him seriously. But in this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant takes us past all that to show how David, despite the opinions of others, proved to be one of God's greatest champions. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, God's Champions.
In January 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation was announced by President Abraham Lincoln, declaring that all slaves were free. But in Texas, this was kept a secret. Some of you might realize this. In Texas, this was kept a secret, and as a result, slaves in Texas continued to live in bondage. It was not until the 19th of June, 1865, in Galveston, Texas, that Major General Gordon Granger finally read President Lincoln's order, declaring that all slaves were free. For 2.5 additional years, the slaves in Texas were made to endure slavery, although their masters knew that the president had granted them freedom. This travesty eventually gave rise to an African-American celebration that became a national holiday last year. And I know there are people watching, perhaps people in the audience this morning, and you're wondering, what is this thing Juneteenth all about? Well, let me help you, because Juneteenth is the merger of June and 19th, celebrating June 19th, 1865, the day that all slaves in America were finally set free. But although slavery ended 157 years ago, today as we celebrate Black History Month, the impact of slavery is still being felt. For some people, they have a hard time understanding, how is it that 157 years later, we're still talking about this? Well, there are many reasons, and this is a Bible message, and so I'm going to go to the Bible, but I want to just say something before I get moving. There are many reasons for this, and one of the reasons why we're still talking about this is because the playing field is still not level. Now, some of my brothers, they have a hard time accepting that, but I'm going to suggest to you, my brother, trust me, as a descendant of the slaves, things are still not equal in this country. But there is another reason that I want to bring to your attention, because it's a reason that requires the prayer of God's people of every race and color, because during slavery, one of the things that was actually organized, done in an organized way, there was an effort to totally destroy Black families. And sadly, that set in motion a dysfunctional spiral that many families have still not overcome. And I'm going to ask my brothers and sisters, no matter who you are, to pray, because only God is going to be able to solve this problem. There is a dysfunctional spiral that has taken place, and many of my brothers and sisters are still struggling because the family structure was totally destroyed during slavery. Well, I don't have time to tell you some of the things that were done in an organized way to destroy the family. And I want to just say to you, listen, this happened not only here in the United States. It happened across the Caribbean. It happened in Brazil. It happened in other places where, you see, unlike previous slaveries, more often than slaveries, there was not a design to destroy the family. When you have destroyed the family, you have rendered a blow that is hard to ever recover from, particularly if the playing field is not level. You see, sometimes if the playing field was level, if the playing field wasn't level and my family was together, I would have parents that would encourage me and to tell me, hang in there, Johnny, hang in there. But listen, if my parent is telling me you're no good, oh, we're going to talk about that in a minute. You see, my brother and sister, I'm talking this morning as one of the descendants of slaves. One of the descendants of slaves whose family was badly impacted by slavery. I'm not just talking about my immediate family now, I'm talking about my dad's family. My dad's family was very badly impacted by slavery. His family was so dysfunctional, I have never heard my grandfather's name. I have no idea who he is. Never heard a word about him. Never heard. I'm not even sure if my daddy knew him. Situation was so dysfunctional. The family was messed up. Back then in Jamaica, the British were still in control. So a man who looked like my dad, a kid who looked like him, had little or no opportunity, so that in his teenage years, he could barely read and write. When he was 19 years old, he could barely read and write. Life was hard. And I've told you before, life was so hard, for a while he lived on the streets. But God saved him and turned his life around. And so this morning, I believe I have good reason to be able to talk to those who, regardless of whether you're African-American or from the Caribbean or wherever you come from, I'm speaking to individuals who have been badly impacted by the dark history of slavery. And I'm here to tell you, my brother and sister, young people, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to give up, for there is hope in Jesus. Amen. And just like he did for my daddy, God can turn your life around. Amen. I hope I have a witness here this morning who can agree with me that God can turn lives around. You know, my dad's papi was a rolling stone. You ever heard that one? Papa was a what? Papa was a rolling stone. Oh, my grandpapa was a rolling stone. Well, I met a couple brothers. I met Mr. Lewis, supposedly my uncle. I met Mr. Gooden. By the way, my father called them that too, although they were supposedly his brothers. So you can imagine how much of a bonding they had, that he's calling his own brothers Mr. Lewis and Mr. Gooden. You see, his papa was a rolling stone. Probably you got a daddy who was a rolling stone. Well, I don't even know how, you know, as I sat and prepared this message, I had to reflect on the reality. How did my daddy ever get to become a good father? And let me be honest, I had the best. How did he learn to be a father? God told him. God taught him. I just want you to know, the word of God. Men, you want a manual to help you? Young people, you say, I don't know how to raise my family because I didn't have a good example. You better stop that nonsense, because if you have the word of God and if you have the Spirit of God living in you, God can give you and guide you to be the best father around. Amen. And this morning I want to tell you that God wants to turn some of you right now. People may call you a loser. You may think you are a loser, but I'm here to tell you this morning that God loves to turn losers into his champions. And that's why this morning I want to speak to you on the topic, God's champions. Because it is my prayer that this God will use this message to start the transformation process in somebody's life. I wasn't planning to speak about this morning. Some of you know I was going to talk to you about David, a man after God's own heart. That was the plan. And I had it all almost finished on Wednesday night. I was almost done. And God said, that ain't the message for tonight, for this week. Hold, put that one on ice. And so God said, this is what I'm to talk to you about, God's champions. You're going to have to wait till March the 13th as we bring the series on David to an end to hear about a man after God's own heart. But this morning we want to talk about God's champions. Amen. The ninth message, and this is going to be part of that series. The ninth message is going to be 11 messages in the series on David. And we're going to be giving you just three quick lessons from David's life regarding this topic, God's champions. Are you ready? Get your notes out. Everybody get your notes. The notes are in the thing. Don't be one of those who say, I don't take notes. Just take notes just for this morning. And put here the first note. Here's the first point I want to make. God often uses despised people to become his champions. Perhaps I'm talking to somebody and you feel you're one of those despised ones. People look down on you. People think you're a nobody. Listen, God often uses despised people to become his champions. You know, David started out as a nobody. Not even his father, Jesse, expected much from him. Remember how when we started the series, I pointed out to you that when God told the prophet Samuel to go to Jesse's house because one of his sons he had determined should be the king. When Samuel shows up at Jesse's house and Jesse's bringing his boys so that one of them could be anointed king, Jesse doesn't even bring David with him. Because as far as Jesse was concerned, David certainly couldn't be the one. So he left him out there taking care of the sheep. He had the other boys, the boys that he thought were the ones most likely. But as far as they were concerned, Jonathan, he was the least likely to succeed. Perhaps you're like that. You're the least likely to succeed. Nobody gives you any credence. Nobody thinks you're worth anything. I've gone into homes and sadly I've heard moms shouting at their children, at their boys, you're no better than your no good father. You ever heard that? But no matter what people have said, no matter if your mama said you are no better than your God, no good father, I want to tell you this morning that God has big plans for you, because God excels in turning losers into his champions. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hold your finger in 1 Samuel 23, but I'm just going to take a verse here, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Some of you know this verse very well, but boy, isn't this powerful as it regards what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 reads as follows, "For you see, your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise." He has chosen what? He has chosen the foolish things to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are what? The things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. Did you get it? God will choose people who are despised and overlooked and turn them into his champions. I can hear somebody now, that sounds good, Brian, but you don't know my background. You don't know my story. You don't know I come from the wrong side of the tracks. You don't know my history. You don't know what I've done. Did you hear what God says? Who uses the despised? He uses the weak. And if this morning, as you listen to the word of God today, you would come and just believe God. Listen, God is not looking for good people. God is not looking for people who are okay and think they are okay. God is looking for people who are willing to come to him and said, I am not okay. God is looking for sinners. And today, if you are willing to admit to God that you are one of those sinners and that you are messed up and that you need him, I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word that my God is able to make you into one of his champions, because God is not on the lookout for those who think they have it all together. Thank God he's willing to change the despised. And my friend, it doesn't matter your race or your culture. You may be yellow, red, white, or black. It does not matter. My God wants to change and transform people. Wants to transform losers and make them champions. But why would God do this? Why? You see the answer that was given there? That no flesh... Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I'm tired of looking at television and seeing all these people puffing up themselves and telling you, oh, how important and how impressive they are. But listen, God is looking for people who are not trying to get you to point the finger at them. Listen, the objective is that God gets the glory, amen. It's all about Jesus, amen. Oh, my young friend, when God turns your life around, don't come up here strutting. Don't come up here with your big fat head. When God turns your life around and makes you into one of his champions, make sure all the glory goes to Jesus. God often uses those who are despised to become his champions. Thank God for turning my dad around. But listen, God helps his champions. Write this down as your second point. God helps his champions to overcome adversity. What are you dealing with in your life? What is it that has gone wrong? Some of you say, Pastor, you know, I went to jail for something I didn't do. Some of you said they arrested me. What is the adversity? At our activity a week or so ago, some of the kids have been very affected, impacted by violence in the city of Philadelphia. What adversity? It could be because of violence. It could be because you have some terrible parents. Whatever the adversity you're facing, I just want you to know that when God touches your life, when you come to him and he touches you and starts transforming you, he is able to help you overcome adversity, because God helps his champions overcome adversity. So in our text, David had been running from King Saul. You remember he had been running. And why? He had been successful running. But here we suddenly get to a point in our text where David is surrounded. You heard the reading. David was surrounded. In fact, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 23. And let me just pick up at verse number 24. Verse 21. Saul said, blessed are you. The Ziphites told Saul where David was. And Saul said, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. This murdering man, he's talking about compassion. You have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure. See the places where his hideout is and who has seen him there. for I am told he is very crafty. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides and come back to me. Check out every hideout he has and come and tell me. And if he's in the land, I'm going to do a real thorough search. Verse number 24. So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, therefore, he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. Listen, David had been running. Hold your finger there. Listen, David, they had been running. And after years of escaping from Saul, Saul's army now had him encircled. There was nowhere to run and there was nowhere to hide. So guess what David did? Turn, hold your finger there, and you're going to Psalm 54. And you're going to go to, we're going to go to Psalm 54 because, as you will see in a moment, Psalm 54 expresses David's thoughts at the very moment he was being encircled. Psalm 54, notice how the psalm, what it says, just above the verse, it says, a contemplation of David when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, is David not hiding with us? This psalm is actually telling you David's thoughts as Saul encircled him. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Strangers have risen up against me. Oppressors have sought my life. They have not set God before me. Then, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. Hold that, hold up, put one finger there, as our brother would say, because we're still coming back to Psalm 54 in just a minute. But you see what David did? He was encircled, and what did he? He prayed. You know, over 25 years ago, my wife and I were facing a very difficult situation that had us very worried. It's interesting, as I was preparing this message, the Lord brought this situation to my mind, but I couldn't remember what the situation was. The solution was what God wanted me to talk to you about. The solution. My wife, we were so stressed out. We were so stressed out. The children, everybody realized we were stressed out. And something happened that night that has never happened since. When we went up to bed, there was a very nicely, a 3x5 card that, on which were written some beautiful words. It was so beautifully done. Psalm 56, verse 3. And here is what was written. You can look up the psalm later. But Psalm 56, 3. Here is what was written on the 3x5 card that was left for my wife and I. It simply said, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.